Thank you, Jake. And good evening, everybody. Good evening to those people in the hall, but also a very good evening to everybody watching in on the internet tonight. Just a reminder, first off, that the care group telephone lines are now open. So we have the phone lines manned up in the care house. So if anyone would like to call in and looking for someone to talk to, there is someone there, and they're waiting for your call. So you can ring in and talk about anything and everything. The telephone numbers are on the bottom of your screen, and you can call really from anywhere in the world. So if you'd like to call into the care line, it's certainly open right now. Now tonight, once again, we're very privileged and pleased to have Cecilia Mitra along.
Thank you.
Tonight, and indeed we have her husband sitting up the back doing the audio tonight too. He's our Buddhist Society audio man and looks after all of this live streaming events and the audio that comes in and out of the centre. So very, very important team. This is the Mitras, Cecilia Mitra tonight speaking. And Cecilia has been a member here for a long, long time now, as long as I can remember. And she has also wears many hats in the Buddhist community here in Australia. She's been the president of the Buddhist Council of Australia, the main FABC, it's called, the Federation of Australian Buddhist Councils. And she was a president there for many years and did some wonderful work getting all that together, just organising the various Buddhist councils around Australia. And I know that her and Jake are still very active in the local Western Australia Council. So Cecilia is a lawyer. She looks after a lot of our legal stuff here too. And she's also a very well-practiced person in the Dharma. She's got plenty of life experience, good and bad, I guess you might say too. And I know that she'll give you a very good talk tonight and also lead the meditation. So without further ado, I'll hand over now to Cecilia Mitra. And
thank you. Thank you, Dennis. So today I'm going to start with meditation, 20 minutes of meditation, and then 20 minutes or so of a talk, and then a discussion, because I'd like for us to be able to discuss and have a good Q&A session, you know, discussing among ourselves. And the title of the talk tonight is The Power of No. Okay. And to start with the meditation, the 20 minutes meditation, we will have to say no to quite a few things. No to thinking, no to worry, no to the past, no to what's outside, and just be with the breath. So by saying no to the past, thoughts of the past and thoughts of the future, we are actually saying yes to the present moment. So I'm going to start my timer for 20 minutes, and at the end of 20 minutes, there will be a bell. So make yourselves comfortable. If you need to sit on a chair, that's fine. If you prefer to sit on the floor, that's also fine. The important thing is for you to be comfortable, to have a straight back. Close your eyes. And be aware. We'll start with awareness of your body, the top of your head. Be aware. Go down to your neck, to your shoulders, relax. down to your backbone. Feel where you're sitting. If you're not comfortable, adjust. Down to your thighs. Be aware of your knees, your lower legs, your feet. Bring your awareness to the sole of your feet. Upwards. Feel the rising and the falling of your abdomen. To your chest. To your throat. Your chin, to your lips, your nostrils, breathe in. Breathe out. And just observe your breath, leaving everything else behind. Be aware of the present moment. This is your precious time. If there are any thoughts that arise, put it on pause. Just 20 minutes of you time, of me time. say no to planning and doing, and yes to silence. We're coming to the end of the meditation. Just a few more minutes. How do you feel? The title of the talk today is The Power of No. No sounds rather negative. Actually, the word no can be very powerful when used with right view and right motivation. When used with right view and right motivation, the word no can bring us freedom and liberation. How often do we say yes, whenever we're asked to do things, when actually we're overstretched, overworked, and we just cannot take one more responsibility, but we say yes. I know I'm guilty of that. How many of you here are guilty of that? Can I have a show of hands? Quite a few of us. Why is it that we say yes to obligations and other people's expectations when we are already overstretched and we know that we ought to be saying no? When we continue to say yes instead of an honest no, we may feel that we let ourselves down, even feel resentful of the person asking us to do that extra thing, and perhaps even resentful of ourselves. So why do we keep saying yes instead of no? As Buddhists, we need to investigate the root of things and the cause of things. So perhaps we should investigate why we ourselves are saying yes when we really overstretch and ought to be saying no. The desire to feel acknowledged, the need to be accepted, the need for approval, fear of rejection if we say no, guilt that I'm being too selfish if I say no, fear of hurting someone, feeling that it's not respectful and I should be duty-bound to say yes, or FOMO, fear of missing out. This need to say yes, sometimes it's just being afraid of rocking the boat. You know, you're in this situation, you don't want to have to think, so you say yes. And it's often deep-rooted from childhood conditioning. If you look at a child, and when they get to about 2 years old, they start saying no because they realize they actually can say no to their parents, and so they start saying no. And what do we call them? The terrible twos. And then they start learning that the word no is displeasing to their parents. So they want to please their parents, they keep saying yes. And then it continues to teenage, and for some of us, into adulthood. When asked a question, when asked, can you do something, we should pause and mindfully think, can I do this? Am I overworked? Why am I saying yes? Is it an honest answer? Is it going to be beneficial to me? Is it going to be beneficial to that other person? And balance whether we can, in fact, accept that obligation. How many times have we been in relationships that we don't want to be in, but we're afraid of saying no because we don't want to hurt that person or people's, that group of people's feelings, peer group pressure, being in the wrong job, or even just accepting an invitation that you don't want to go, you don't want to be in a crowd of people drinking and talking about the good old times over and over again, and then you go back feeling, I've just wasted my time. Saying no to idle chatter is saying yes to silence. You know, silence, being by yourself and looking at your long-term goal for happiness. I'm not saying that we should say no for the sake of saying no, but rather be mindful about our response. So now the question is, how does this all fit in the Dharma? You know, being Buddhist means being compassionate, being kind. kindness begins with oneself. If we can't be kind to ourselves, we can't be honest to ourselves, we can never be kind to somebody else. We think we are being kind. We think we are being a people pleaser, we're helping out, but actually we're making ourselves miserable. And when we make ourselves miserable, we're making everyone else around us miserable. That's just how it is. Right speech. What is right speech? Speech that is truthful, speech that is kind, speech that is beneficial. So when we say yes, when we mean no, we become unhappy, we become stressed, we're not being truthful, we're not being honest, and it's beneficial to neither us nor the person that we are saying yes to. The cost of saying yes when we want to say no can be very high. Every time we agree to one thing, we are refusing something else. We make trade-offs. We spend time with people we don't want to spend time with. We do things that we don't want to do. We are overburdened. And we have little time to do the things that are really important to us, the things that we really value, spending time by ourselves, spending time with our loved ones, spending time with our family. The key is really finding the balance between meeting our own needs and helping others. And obviously it's different for each of us. As Buddhists, we are aware that things are not within our control, but we have the power to say yes or no to any given set of circumstances. Saying no is a basic human right. And if we give up that right, we're actually not taking responsibility of our own actions. There's one person that we know in his who has actually said no to worldliness. The Buddha. The Buddha said no to worldliness of comforts. It must have been incredibly difficult for the Buddha to leave the palace, to leave the king, who had high expectations of him being a great ruler, to renounce the world. The Buddha said no to worldliness. If we look around and we look at our great teachers and our mentors, we will see that they said no. Sometimes even to their own peers, because it was not the right thing to do. Ajahn Brahm said no to his peers when he facilitated the ordination of women. As a Buddhist, when we take on the five precepts, we are saying no to causing harm to others. We are saying no to taking what's not ours. We are saying no to sexual misconduct, no to wrongful speech, no to intoxicants. When we sit to meditate, we say no to the five hindrances, no to sensual desire, no to ill will, no to sloth and torpor, no to restlessness and worry, no to doubt. So saying no brings the opportunity to yes to greater things. So, I'll leave it to discussion now. Any questions? I think it's better if we discuss rather than it's a talk. Have you experienced any situation where you said yes but regretted it and then realized where the problem was?
Responsibility to get a job. It's not easy to lose something and to find something else for the good of the family and everything. So I would say, yes, okay, you can do it. You can do it. And I was doing that. I've been doing it for more than a year, but I wasn't happy there anymore. Until I find the strength enough to say, no, that's time for me now. I'm getting sick, you know, all this stress can go into my body, so I start having more headaches and funny things that, and I know by experience that that comes from my saying to being too good, but not for me, for the others. So I said, no, I'm old enough now to know that life is one, and I mean, comes, and I have to take the opportunity to start what I want to do now. So I said, okay, I got the decision, I leave the job, whatever comes, comes. If I have to be without for a moment, I will be without a job for. So I thought that I was strong enough, I was brave enough to face, you know, the reaction of my husband or, you know, the family in general. And I thought, yeah, why not? And nothing happened. Actually, it's getting better. So sometimes we are scared for nothing.
That's wonderful. You have the courage to say no.
Yeah.
And no empowered you.
Yeah.
And the power of no is incredible. It liberated you. It gave you freedom.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel free. And I say, see, I should yeah. have done it before.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I was speaking to my daughter today. And she told me, you know, Mom, when I was young, and I always remember this, you said it's okay to say no to adults, you know, because we always, when I was young, I was always taught that don't say no to adults, that's disrespectful. But I realized that it's not what you say, but how you say it. And you don't always have to say yes to authority or adults. You need to take responsibility. And by saying no, you're also moving away from being the victim or being bullied, because you are placing yourself in a position where you're able to exercise the right of doing the right thing, of thinking, you know. A lot of times we allow ourselves to be in a position of being bullied as well.
Thank you. I find it really difficult to say no to food, to be honest.
Me too.
So I love eating. I love eating all kind of food, and that's why I try to minimize whatever I'm eating and be mindful of what I'm eating. But I can't say no. It's really difficult. Really difficult for me. But I think it's by the encouragement of my partner, we try to be on the same page together. Let's start a diet together instead of me going one way and she's going another way. And I think when we started encouraging each other, we manage to control more and being able to encourage each other to say no to fast food, no to this, no to that, no to that. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, you ask yourself, is it beneficial for you? Is it making you healthier? Is it self-care? Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Anyone else? So one thing I would say is that we should tell our children, or we should encourage them to say no if they're not comfortable with a situation, because it's all about conditioning. It starts when they are children, and if they feel that they cannot say no, it just continues. And we can help ourselves, but we can also help people who are much younger than us, because it's been... The problem or the situation changes, but the problem is the same. The inability to say no because we want to feel loved. We don't want to feel like we are alone. But it's better to be alone. This is the Dhamma. It's better to be alone than to be in the wrong company. The Buddha did say that it's better to walk alone than to be in the company of wrong people, wrong company. Yeah, yeah. Walk like an elephant alone. All right. If we're finished, we will say. I think Dennis has something to say. Yeah, I chose this topic because I do understand that people in the care group have issues because we feel stressed, overburdened, and a lot of it has got to do with the fact that we take on more than we can handle, and part of it is the inability to say no. So the number is on the call-in, and if you have anything to say, anything to share, call in, and there's someone taking the line, and the number is on the screen, so please don't hesitate to call. There is someone taking your call and listening to you. If you just need a listening ear, do not hesitate to call. Thank you. Oh, yes. August 7th, Ajahn Brahm's birthday. All the details are on the web. Please join in the celebrations. Thank you. Oh, we have a question.
Okay, I'll read out the question. It's from Indonesia on the YouTube chat line. Sometimes when I make a decision, I usually think that it's the correct decision, but later I regretted it. So how do you know when to say no and when to say yes?
Thank you for the question from Indonesia. Well, again, it may be a correct decision at the time you said yes, but situation changes. And if your situation changes and it becomes a no, then don't hesitate to say, look, I can't handle it anymore. However, before making a decision, mindfully consider why am I making this decision? Is it the right decision for me in that am I able to accept a further obligation? Am I doing this to please someone else? How do I feel about this? Is it going to be bringing me long-term happiness, or is it just, you know, short-term pleasure and I'm going to regret this? No one can give you the answer. Only you can make the answer or come to the right answer by thinking or considering mindfully. Take a pause. If you have to take a pause for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days before you come up with a decision, that's all right. Any other questions? No? All right, we're going to have our tea break then. Yes. Obviously, before we go, we're going to pay respects to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha.